You're not really going to buy it, you're not going to sell it, or utilize a service, and still you're asking, and then we discuss that that's called a nas devarim, because you are getting his hopes up, etc. Then there's another din in the Mishnah, which is also brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to misrepresent your items. So I was working through this on Shabbos with Reb David Kolodny. We were trying to work through the sugya. The sugya gives a few examples, and basically all the examples that at the end of the fourth parak of Metziah, and all the examples are things where you are getting the buyer more excited about buying it, even though it's not really what he thinks he's getting. So, for example, you have a bunch of mediocre fruit, and you put some nice fruit on top, and now you sell it to him. So the Gemara says that's what you know as devarim. The question is, why is it not as devarim? And the answer is you're selling it at the price of the cheaper one. So you're not actually taking advantage of him financially. Financially, you're selling it at the price of the cheaper one. You're just beefing it up a little bit to make it more enticing for him to actually go ahead and buy it. Okay? That's the idea. And that's called a nas dvarim. Okay? Why is it called a nas dvarim? Because you're making him feel bad, I guess, to some degree. He thinks he got a good deal, and he's not getting that good deal. Yeah.
They'll go in for companies, do whatever you want to call it, market research, and they'll pretend they're a buyer that no intention of buying, but that's their job. So they're not stealing from this person, but they're stealing in the sense of making the seller believe that they're buying.
Well, that's exactly what we're talking about, really. The seller is wasting their time with this buyer, and the buyer has no intention of actually buying.
So then they can't do that job.
That's a problem. That's a problem. The chayra. Yeah. So, what does Olam hold about the following Shaila? I said to the person that asked me, he asked me last Sunday about 11 a.m. I'm like, it's a good Shaila, but if you would have come an hour earlier, you would have had the answer from the shir. So, it's not, apparently not an uncommon business. So, the person asked me the following is... that he wants to be a sports ticket broker. He wants to go into this business. So what is it? What do you do? So you buy essentially, I don't know, 100 season tickets, right? And you're only going to use one or two, depends. If you use one. You know, so you're willing to be makir of your own nefesh. If you use two, you're willing to makir of your child's nefesh also. That's fine. So, but whatever, you're gonna use some of the tickets, and after you finish using whatever you don't have, you're gonna sell, right? So, what happens is that you buy it at the price, and then you sell them an individual for way more than what you bought it for. Now, the team does not. They're not masking to this arrangement because the team wants that the average fan could buy the tickets direct. They don't want to knock out or limit the average guy from being able to call up and saying, I want to get a ticket. But what happens is these brokers buy all the tickets and the average fan can't buy the ticket anymore directly from the fans, from the team. They have to go to the brokers and then they get overcharged. So the team loses control over the pricing of the tickets. Right, so they started a new rule that you can only buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, limited amount. So obviously, what does everyone else, what does a good firm guy do who knows a lot of people from Shul by Kiddush? So he tells the guy next to him, "Hey, look, why don't you buy some for me?" And hey, but you buy, and he gets the whole Shul to buy for him. Right, so then he says to the guy, look, you don't actually have to buy it for me. Just give me your credit card. Just give me your name and address, and I'll buy it for you. I'll be your shliach. So essentially what's happening is that this guy is buying 100 tickets under everyone else's name, and he's really buying it and selling it. So is that mutter?
No.
So, and he's paying for, now, if some of the teams don't even, some of the teams, what? It's Gneva's Das.
Gneva's Das from the team?
Yeah. Well, it's either Gneva Mamish or Gneva's Das. And because they think that they're selling it to that guy, and they're not.
But everyone knows. I mean, the whole SeatGeek stuff, that's the whole industry today. They all know that they're reselling the tickets.
Breach of the licensing agreement.
I could think
What do you mean they know? They don't know. They stop the people that they can.
No. What happens?
They stop the people that they can do it. There have been many people.
Well, they don't want too many of them.
It's an industry that it's not straight. The haraya that it's not straight.
You have this for all kinds of purchasing to get above the purchasing limit.
Okay, so
credit cards and all
things. So, it depends how you're doing it. If the person is using their own credit card, and you just tell the person, look, if you go ahead and buy the tickets yourself, I'll buy them for you. I'll buy them from you. That's different, because then the person is actually going ahead. They're buying it. They're paying for it. They have a certain amount of a chrayus. And then you're buying it from them. Maybe that's different. Maybe that's a drop different. But when you're actually paying for it, you're just using his name, right? And you have to create a new Google number. I said, it sounds like you have to hide quite a bit to get this done. So, you know, as we said last week, if there's a reason why you're not disclosing the truth to the team when you're buying it, you should think twice before you do it. L'chaira.
But even if you knew, Moshe, even if they know, but it's still not allowed, even if the buyer knows.
They can't, and if the buyer could stop it, they would. They've stopped many people.
The teams today are not stupid. They themselves, they make this as the, hey, we want the average Joe to be able to buy the tickets for this price.
And they get their own brokers.
They themselves are going on and selling it in the secondary markets for three times the price. They're not dumb. They could raise the prices or they could, right? But they want to be seen as the good guy, which they've done a good job because we believe they are the good guy this year. But really, they're the ones going on the secondary markets and selling them at three times the price.
Uh-huh. Okay. whatever it is, l'chaira, calling up someone who sells something, giving them false information, and basically convincing them to sell it to someone that they don't want to sell it to, is really not correct. And that's l'chaira, at the least, Gneivas Das, as we'll get into now. Now, you'll tell me.
Well, it comes out that they know that you're a Jewish person.
Right. Now, in the Gemara that I gave you, the Gemara says like this, Damar Shmuel, and we'll give a basic overview of some of the halachas that apply to Gneivas Das. Damar Shmuel, Tzadi Dalin Chulin, also Lignoiv Das Abrius. You're not allowed to do Gneivas Das, which is to fool someone or trick someone, but fuel Daito Shalovit Kochavim, even of a guy. Now, that's an interesting chiddush because there's a manda omar that holds you're allowed to steal from a guy. Straight out. And we don't paskin that way. We hold gezel akum is asr. But it is a machlekes in the Gemara. But it sounds like Gneivas Das is asr l'kuli alma, even if gezel akum is motor.
Why would I not assume that when you use brius? If I would thought brius means anyone.
Well, I'm just saying, it's a chiddush because... That's what he's saying. That's what Shmuel is saying. V'had Shmuel lav beferish itmar el mechlala itmar. The Shmuel is this whole story. So you're not allowed to be going to v'das of a guy. So first, let's back up a little bit. Why not? What's wrong? So the machloek is between the Rambam, Rabbi Yoina, and the Smag. What is the Isra of Gneivas Das? The Rambam and Rabbi Yoina say that the Isra of Gneivas Das, Gneiva is a borrowed term over here. It's not really stealing. Don't do stealing. The point is it's sheker. The point is it's lying. It's acting in a ramos dika way, in a, what's ramos? In a deceitful way, in a trickery, I'm using trickery, it's deceitful, and that's the iser. So it's nothing to do with what I'm doing to him, it has to do with me. I'm lying. It's not the avla that I'm doing to him as much as it's my sheker, which if you'll turn the page, you see the Lashon of the Rambam, which is in Perek Beis of Hilchos Deis. The Rambam says, "Asur la'adam." Parak Beis Halacha Vav says, "Asur la'adam lahanig atzma b'divrei chalakos u'pitui." Pitui is you're trying to seduce someone to something. Chalakos is like you're splitting up. You're saying here, there. You're not acting echad bepev v'loitia, achas bepev echad belev. Ela toichoi kibaroi, v'ha'inyan shebelev, hu adavar shebepev. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say. So the Rambam is very clear that the issue of Gneva's Das is really an issue of Sheker, of lying. However, the Smag says that it's an issue of Gneva Mamish. It's an issue of Gneva. You're stealing his Havana of something. It's like an issue of Gneva because you're taking away his Das of understanding something in a certain way. And he says, Gzeilas Akum is Mutter. So he says, very interesting. The pasuk says, Lo Signoivu, Lo Sechachush, Lo Sechachru, Ish Ba'amisoi. It says, Lo Signoivu, Lo Sechachru, Lo Sechachush, Lo Sechachru, don't steal Ish Ba'amisoi from one another, but not from Goyim. But he says, if you read the pasuk, there's an Esnachta, which is a comma, pause, after the words Lo Signoivu. The pasuk says, Lo Tignoivu, so he says the Ish Ba'amisa, the Smak says, not going back on Lo Signoivu. The Ish Ba'amisa is only going on Lo Sechachachu. Don't you know, steal maybe some money. But in Lo Signoivu, which is Das Abrius, is going on everybody. Let's say he teaches it. Anyway, so this is, there's an Isser of Gneva's Das even for a Goy.
So now,
right, so it's sheker. So then it has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with the subject. It's not the avla to him. The man's going something else. But the point is that it's really not about the avla to the other person. It's about your midas. You have to be honest. Okay? Now, what are practical cases of Gneva's Das? So in the context of Mekach Umemkar, which is what we're dealing with in business, the Gneva's Das is cases where the case of the Gemara, why is this Gemara in Chulin? Shouldn't it be in Bar Metzia somewhere? What's it going on in Chulin? Because what happened is that they had a shuk. They had a shuk where they bought meat. And one guy in the back yells out, the next animal coming out is a trefa. So the butcher who gets the meat in the front table will sell that trefa to the guy. Now the problem is that the guy, why is the guy in this market? This is the kosher meat market.
Because they're inevitably going to be trefas.
So that's one way to look at it. Or do you say because he wants kosher meat? Right? So the Gemara says that the assumption is that the guy coming to the kosher meat market, Mistama, wants kosher meat. Now, why does he want kosher meat? I don't know. Go ask all the people that buy Empire Chicken in Costco that are not Jewish. Like, there's a reason why they want kosher meat. So now you're going to throw out them a trefa. So are you allowed to do that?
No.
Now, obviously we're talking, you're going to charge them the price of a trefa. You're not going to charge them the price of kosher meat. You're going to tell them, I got a good deal for you. Or whatever it is. So that's what Shmuel is saying, that's Gneva's Das. It's not Gneva's Momen, because you're selling it to him at the price of the trefa meat. But he thinks he's getting kosher.
Maybe he just wants kosher style.
Maybe, well, the problem is that it really makes no difference to him. It really shouldn't matter. So why do we care? Yeah, we're assuming that. We're assuming he's not Jewish.
If you're not selling him kosher, but that's what you're not. So it means that the price of kosher meat is at least 1/6 more than the price of trade.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're talking about there's no ayna, and there's no problem with that.
So, Bahim don't really care about kosher. They care about that there's extra eyes watching it.
For what he needs.
Invited, that it's being watched.
So
that's what they care about.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, the Gemara says it's aser, and we pass like that in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to. So Ramosha, the classic shaila that a lot of people have, this shaila, is that someone comes into the store, a guy, and says, I want to get a mezuzah. Why? Because it's protection and this and that. So he wants to get the mezuzah. So what does the store owner want to do? He wants to sell him a case, maybe a plastic, maybe a paper inside, no paper inside at all, just a case. Why? Because you're afraid that the guy will not treat the mezuzah properly. So are you allowed to tell the guy, here's a mezuzah, no problem, and you know, it's only $10, and just charge him the price of the case. But he thinks he's getting a mezuzah.
It should be the same thing as selling.
So Rav Moshe says that from this Gemara that it's aser. Now, there is a tshuva I saw in the Pesach Choshen brings down from Rav Bloy. He brings down that if a guy wants to buy a Sefer Torah, you should not sell him the Sefer Torah. And the din of Kavod HaSefer Torah is doicha the lav of Kavod of Gnevas Das. In other words, here you have a very strong Torah not to sell him the Sefer Torah, because the assumption is he will be mistreat the Sefer Torah. And therefore, if you can't get out of selling it to him, obviously that would be the best scenario. Don't sell it to him.
So is that for every, but, is it doicha every mitzvahs? Is it just lo sesei? Is it also mitzvahs sesei?
This din of Kavod HaBriya of Gnevas Das, he wants to say that the din of Kavod Sefer Torah is doiched. I don't know how to apply it to anything else. But this is what he says about this.
In Sefer Shmuel, Hashem wants Shmuel to appoint the Melech. Shmuel says, but Shaul's going to kill me. So he says, lie to him. Just say that you're bringing.
It's Pekach Nefesh, you're saying.
Well, no, he didn't have to go.
Okay, so I'm saying I don't know how to balance every single thing in the, you know, two conflicting mitzvahs in the Torah,
yeah.
But this he brings down a psak like that, and what's it called? You told me a story once with your mother that I thought you told me.
Better memory than me.
Yeah, you told me once that you had a partner that was a non-Jewish guy that wanted to have mezuzah, and then your mother said, look, you guys go be slaves in Egypt for 400 years, then you go get a mezuzah. You talk to Yitzchak Mitzrayim over there. So, but the Ramban says it speaks about Yitzchak Mitzrayim in the mezuzah. But Lemaisa doesn't. Because we only have the first two parashas are in the mezuzah. The third parasha of Shema is not in the mezuzah. So, I was one time eating by Rabbi Shariyeli, and he said over this Ramban, he was reading the Ramban, that the Ramban says that a person can buy a mezuzah for one zuz, and he's coining him all these soydas of Yitzchak Mitzrayim. And his daughter was there and asked, he says, Ta, I don't think it says anything about Yitzchak Mitzrayim in the mezuzah. And we started rereading the Ramban, and the Achrayim asked his kasha on the Ramban. It doesn't say anything about Yitzchak Mitzrayim in the mezuzah. But anyway, but your mother was going up to the Ramban. This
Ramban says all the
mezuzahs. Right, okay, anyway. Al Kapana, based on this Gemara, Moshe says you are not allowed to sell a possum mezuzah to a guy, because it would be Gnevas Das. So that means any time, at the end of the day, you're going to sell the person something that they're actually paying good price for, but you're misrepresenting it to the point that they think they're getting a good deal, and for their purpose, it's totally fine. The person comes in and says, I need the fastest, most efficient computer possible. So why? You know, you create movies like you're watching. What do you need it for? You know. So he says, you know, I type very quickly and I need a very fast computer, but I don't do anything else other than just create Word documents. So he doesn't need anything. You have a very fine computer for him, right? So he said that this is the fastest thing I have. This is great. This is perfect for you, right? And obviously you charge him the right price. So you're not allowed to misrepresent your item, even though for what he needs, he's totally getting what he needs. Right? You can't do that.
The guy, a goy comes into a Judaic store, and he sees a mezuzah case. He goes, I want one of those.
So sell it to him.
Does the owner have an obligation?
No.
That's not only part
of it. No.
No?
That much you don't have to do. But he wants to, you don't know why he wants it. Maybe he wants to give a gift to someone. You know, so. Okay. Now that's the aside of Gnevas Das as far as Mekach HaMemkor is concerned. There's a few examples, but that's basically the aside. But once we're at it, we should really discuss a few examples of Gnevas Das that the Gemara says that are not related to Mekach HaMemkor. Okay? So There's one yesoid, basically, in Gnevas Das. The Gemara says, any time that you think, you're getting someone to think that you did a favor for them, and you didn't really do the favor for them, that's Gnevas Das. So the Gemara says here a few examples. If you look inside Idalim, if you look in the Gemara, where it's underlined, it says, Al yisar v'adam l'chaveru lisoid etzloi, v'yadea boi she'enoi soyid. Don't invite someone over for a suda, and you know they're not going to come. In other words, right?
What if he's just a nice guy?
Yeah, you have a new neighbor in town, and you want to, you know, you're really not interested in having them over for a suda, but you don't want to ignore them. But, and you find out that they're going away for Sukkos. So perfect. You know, right before Sukkos, you go, oh, would you come over for a meal on Sukkos? You know, oh no, we're going away. Okay, you know.
That's your classic.
And don't send a gift. We've spoken about this before, that you can't open up a new bottle for him and he thinks it's for him and it's really not for him. As, you know, you go over to someone's house and making a l'chaim and say, oh, free, I'm going to open up this. I've been holding this bottle for you. He opens it up for you, a blue label, and opens up for you, makes a little chaim. And in the meanwhile, the real guy that he's opening it for is just about to come down the block, but he's like, okay, so I would never open it just for you, right? So the Gemara says it's usher. Now you'll say to me, what's the big deal? Why is it usher? What's the big deal? So you're making the guy feel good. I think he opened it for me. What's so bad? So the place can say very simple. Because when you do a favor for someone, or you do something for someone, that person is, you create in him a sense of a feeling of shibud, of obligation. So he thinks that next time you come to my house, I gotta give you the blue label now. So now you're really being mafshed and mumming. It's not just, right? So you're creating a sense of indebtedness that's not really accurate. So now he's gonna think that next time he comes to my house, I can't just serve him a little shot of whatever. I gotta, you know, scramble to get myself a nice chashav bottle. So you created that understanding. Okay, or like, let's say, you know, okay, now, but there's one big exception to this, and well, let's learn through that exception. It's the Gemara in Amud Beis. Okay, what does the Gemara say in Amud Beis? Sadi Dalad Amud Beis. The Gemara is a Yisoid called Inuhu de Kamatu Nafshayu, where the arrow is. Inuhu de Kamatu Nafshayu means I didn't fool you. I didn't fool you. You fooled yourself. What does that mean? What do you mean I didn't fool you? You fooled yourself. So the Gemara says like this. Kiha de Mar Zutra, it's where the arrow is. Kiha de Mar Zutra braid of Nachman. There's a story with Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman. So Mar Zutra was leaving Sichra, and he was coming to Beit Machuza. And Rav and Rav Safra were coming to Sichra. So this Rav Nachman was leaving the city, and two big Rabbanim, Rav and Rav Safra, were coming to the city. Pogu Ahadadi, and they bumped into each other. So Rav Nachman thought, "Who's Savra La'apeyu deka'asu?" That they're coming to greet him. Wow, you came as I'm leaving the city to, you know, greet me or whatever. In reality, they just happened to be going that way. They never really went to go greet him. They didn't even know he was coming. You understand the case? So, who savar la peyu de kasu? Amar le lama le l'rabbanim de troyach vasu kula. You shouldn't have. You really didn't have to. You didn't have to go this far for me. So. I'm Rav Safra. Non lo ava yadina de kasumar. So Rav Safra, don't worry, it wasn't for you.
No, now you're embarrassing.
What?
Now you're embarrassing.
Well, you said, "Look, you know, I'm glad it worked. We didn't know." Well, that's what he says. So that's what that. So the other Rav says back, he doesn't embarrass him. He says, "We actually didn't know you were coming, but if we knew, we would have also come. Yava yadinan, tfei avatachinan. For sure, I would have come." Amle Rava, my time or Amrale Hakidachel Shilta Ledaite. Why are you telling him this? Right now he feels good that we came to greet him. Why do you have to go burst his bubble and tell him that we didn't come greet him? Because otherwise we're fooling him. It's deceitful. We're leading him on to think that we came and greeted him and we didn't. Zakta Gemara, Iu de Kamati Nafshe. No, he's fooling himself. He's fooling himself. So the question is, what is this Gemara saying, an exception to Gnevas Das? The Gemara is saying, this case is no Gnevas Das because he's fooling himself. What does it mean that he's fooling himself? And Rashi and Tosfos ask, what's the difference between that and the guy that opened the bottle for the friend?
He says he's doing it
for him. So Rashi says what you're saying. Rashi says, in the case of the bottle, you open up the bottle and say, I have this bottle just for you, let's open it up. So fine. But here I didn't say anything, I'm just here. And he said, oh, you shouldn't have come greeted me. So therefore, okay, but Tosfos asks on Rashi that it can't be that's the case, because obviously you wouldn't be allowed to say that I opened it for you if I didn't open it for you. So in the case of opening the bottle, also must be that I didn't really say it. I think the connection's not working here.
There you opened the bottle to give the impression that it was for him. But the other one, you came there because you came there.
Right.
It wasn't for him.
Okay, so Tosfos says that has nothing to do with saying it. Tosfos says it's a different point. Tosfos says is a yisoid in Gnevas Das that wraps it up everything. He says inu dekamata nafshayu is in either case you didn't say it. The question is the person who's being fooled making a reasonable assumption or is it an unreasonable assumption? If the person's making a reasonable assumption, then I have to correct his mistake. And as I open up a bottle, I say, oh, thanks for coming to the Kiddush, Mazel Tov, come. I have a special bottle here waiting to be opened. So it's a reasonable assumption that he's opening it for me. In reality, he's not opening it for me because he knows other people are coming anyway. But he has a reasonable assumption based on my behavior to make that mistake. So it would be considered I'm being going of daitoi, and I have to correct that error. But if it's an unreasonable assumption, then he came to that conclusion himself. It's not because of my actions. So you have two Rabbanim sitting here, walking outside the city. Why do you think that they came to greet you? I'm saying like,
who are you
that they should come and wait and waste their time to go greet you? Terry says, you got carried away. And you like figured that, hey, they're coming for me. Okay, so you're making an unreasonable assumption, according to Tosfos, and therefore I don't have to correct you.
What if the guy has to go
out of
the
room? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So it depends on if it's reasonable.
If we know you were coming, we would have come for that. So obviously it's not.
I think that's a way of addressing his issue, which is that you don't want to embarrass the guy. I don't think he's lying. I think he's trying to say you deserve the covet. But
Lemaisa, we know.
But you're telling him you're not really opening up the drink for him. You're also embarrassed.
You're saying
the scenario is I
don't know what. I don't think the Lashon of the Gemara is so specific. I think what he's trying to say is, look, of course you deserve tremendous covet, but don't think that we're here for you. That's what he's saying.
Let me know. So I'm afraid to go and correct every misunderstanding of my actions by anyone.
They're going to become indebted to you from it. That's the point. So.
If I'm in a shul and the guy gets up and says, "It's so nice of you all come to my simchat Torah." No, I was going to be here anyway.
No. No, he's not. That guy is not going to be as indebted to you. But let's say you have a guy that's making a kiddush all the way on the other side of town. He's making a kiddush all the way on the other side of town. Now, happens to be I'm eating my meal right next to him. So, let me say, okay, I'm in the neighborhood. I stop and say Mazel Tov.
So I have to
bedak
tell him, by the
so
way,
now,
I'm here because I'm eating elsewhere, so you just have to be convenient.
Right, so now think about it.
Mazel Tov, I'm not here for you.
Mazel Tov, I'm glad that, you don't have to say anything, but if you start saying, oh, you came so far, so it worked out, I happen to be here. I happen to be in the neighborhood, don't worry about it. No, because what you're doing is,
the guy here says, thank you so much for coming to me. Well,
because if the guy says, oh, Mazel Tov, whatever, so he's obviously not hopping the great indebtedness to you, right?
If he says, wow, you walked so far.
What did he just say when he said, thanks for walking so far, you shouldn't have? It means that when you're making a kiddush, oh man, this guy showed up, now if he makes a kiddush, I've got to go to his, right? So you should say to him that, no, I don't care about you, but you don't have to feel bad that I was matriarch all the way. I wasn't a tirach, it worked out, I'm so happy I could be here. right? So you're correcting that error. Now we paskin like Tosfos that it's not about what you said; it's about if it's a reasonable mistake or not. And therefore, in those types of scenarios, right? So let's say someone's like, I need a ride to the airport. I happen to be going near there, so I'll take you. But if I don't say I'm happening to be going near there, and I say, yeah, I'll take you to the airport. So what happens? Next time I need a ride, I know who I'm calling. They can't say no to me now. But if I just tell them, oh, I'm going anyway, come along, okay, so I'm doing a favor, but I'm not creating that sense of indebtedness. Right? So this is a little bit, like we said, these are the cases of Gnevas Das which don't apply in a sales scenario, but it happened to me in Maisa once. Someone made a chasana in Lakewood. It happened to be in Lakewood, and I stopped in. And then right away, they're like, wow, I can't believe you came all the way. It's unbelievable, right? So, Lamaisa, what's going to happen? If I ever do anything, they're going to feel meshubit to me. So I said, I think it's unreasonable to think that without really asking me if I'm coming, right. I just showed up like that. I came especially.
The question is, you're there all the time anyway.
Right. So Betsam, I don't think it's a reasonable assumption to assume people come without even letting you know before or like making a discussion about it. But I did say like, yeah, I'm so happy it could work out or whatever, something like that, something parv, like that. But whatever, this is the cases. Yeah, what is it?
A difference when the assumption is made that the one time I closed a transaction for a client and I thought it was a deal, but later somebody else came and told him, you got that deal? That's amazing. That's above and beyond. He should have charged you twice for that because it was such a good deal. I do I have to then go, like, I didn't give that impression at the time, but somebody else gave him that impression.
Is it true or not?
I don't know.
You didn't do anything about that.
It matters how good the professional is. If the professional is
I don't know. I mean, you didn't do anything at that point. I mean, that's not, you know. But I did see in the Pesach Choshen, which is people ask this question all the time. So in other words, what we're saying is even in Mecca Chomemka, you can't give the impression to someone that he's getting a great deal when he's really not. Even though you're not overcharging him. You're charging the market value, but you're setting it up in a way that he thinks he's getting the deal of the century. So, Lemaisa, people ask all the time.
Recording in progress.
So, it's a very bad connection. I'm sorry. So, can you if someone comes into a store, and you know the nature of this person, can you start off the price, which everyone does, obviously, start off the price higher? So you're giving room for negotiation. And then the guy's going to negotiate down, and then you got the price that you wanted in the first place. Right? And you have the price if a guy walks in and the price if a yid walks in. Right? So are you allowed to do that? Because now, you know, you're giving him the impression that he's getting some sort of good deal out of this.
If he started with the regular price, he would have negotiated you down further.
Right.
Then it's, I think it's fine.
What are you saying?
No, the Jew knows that, like you're saying, it's reasonable. The Jew knows that you're starting
that. Right. Right.
So, what?
The car business gets expected.
Right. And I think in certain in the industries that allow for negotiation, and it's understood that. So the Pesach Choshen Paskins, that's mutter. I always thought it wasn't clear. I was never sure about that. Because, but the answer is
down the first time, he forces you to go up the next time. He knows now.
Right. In other words, he knows that there's room for there's room for negotiation. So since the assumption is that there's room for negotiation, so the halacha would be that it is permitted to do that, even though he thinks he's getting a good deal. Okay. So, okay. I think so. A few things.